Kevin Ling's chief economist at StanLib unpacks Trump's presidential executive orders that are coming through fast and furious right now, Kevin. And there's so many, we can't talk about them all, but there are some focal areas that we can hone in on because those are the most relevant to our context and Africa's context. So let's start on the energy side, because some sweeping statements being made on that front.
That's right. So as you say, a lot of orders being signed. Also, importantly, what's called memorandum. So that is a slightly different thing, but it does speak to a policy intent. And obviously, he'll be looking to implement that as well. And so what's happening is people are taking these orders and trying to bunch them into categories so that you can get a better sense of what this is about. And the energy sector, as you say, is a critical area. So he's declared effectively an emergency within the U.S. energy space. Now, that's never happened before. The U.S. has declared emergencies in all kinds of other areas. And once you declare an emergency, it allows the federal government to introduce all kinds of exceptional rules and to override existing rules. So the reason why you would declare an emergency in the energy space is that it allows you to circumnavigate or to get rid of environmental protection. Now, the U.S. has quite a lot of environmental protection that has been established around the energy space that stops the exploration of energy. But once you declare an emergency in that space, then it allows you to go and start to drill and explore in all kinds of areas, including Alaska's wilderness, without having to get first the environmental approval. So that immediately, it's an immediate effect. You open up the energy space for much more investment, much more exploration, and a lot of this can happen quite quickly. On top of that, I would argue that he's moving against things like wind energy. So what he's saying is that federal water will no longer be available for hire to establish wind farms. So many of the wind farms are located offshore, and for obvious reasons, there's good wind, etc., and you're not disturbing any land. He's put a ban on that. So that would now hurt the development of wind farms and obviously presumably focus much more on gas and oil exploration. So that is a focus. He's looking to re-engage with the building of export capacity for natural gas, liquefied natural gas, which had been stopped under the Biden administration. That would be quite a big investment. And so the U.S. definitely has its eye on being an exporter of energy. And on top of all of that, he's saying, well, we're going to allow for exploration in a whole lot of areas that had previously been off limits. And so Biden had introduced a ban on broadly offshore exploration, and he's saying he's changing that ban, and so you can now go and explore offshore for oil and gas. That's a massive.
Touch on what this means for Sasol in terms of changing the demand supply equation when it comes to oil. Talk to me about that side before we delve further into some of the other executive orders.
So the U.S. is already, you would argue, pretty much self-sufficient in terms of energy. And so what would be the argument to go and expand this significantly further? Obviously, it boosts certain U.S. companies and perhaps U.S. political interests, but it goes further than that, and that is that it's about earning export revenue and it's about subduing the cost of fuel and energy. And so it's going to start to increase global supply of energy, and it obviously would put OPEC under pressure, and quite frankly, it would be put a whole lot of other fuel producers. The end result is that you would expect now a lower average oil price. And if obviously your investment is very much tied to the oil price, you'll potentially come under pressure. And so this isn't the greatest thing for Sasol. And so he's looking at it more in terms of, does this help the U.S. economy by providing cheap energy? And from their perspective, absolutely. And you've also got to see this linked to his focus on the car industry and a focus back onto fuel vehicles and a move away from electric vehicles. And so he would see those two things as tied together. And he's also changing the regulation around the use of fuel in motor vehicles and various emission controls. So all of this is tied up, and it's going to put a lot of industries around the world under pressure that have been focused on clean energy, that have been focused on electric vehicles, that have been focused on wind farms and solar plants, all of that, because this is a major initiative by the world's biggest economy.
So, Kevin, another key element that we need to talk about is this federal political employee memorandum or order that he's put forward. Unpack that for me.
So remember that he's employed Trump to head up a government.
He's employed Musk.
Trump, he's employed Trump. He's employed Musk to head up a government efficiency department. And part of that is to try and reduce the total number of employees within the federal government. I personally don't think the federal government is bloated with employees, but their focus is to try and reduce that. Now, that's quite difficult because there are a whole lots of rules and regulations, so they're doing a couple of things. One is they've put a hiring freeze in place, a broad-based hiring freeze, so that immediately caps it. That doesn't apply to military. It also doesn't apply to people involved in immigration control. So he is being selective there, but it will have an effect on capping further increases in employment. He's also ensuring that everybody goes back to work. So a lot of the federal employees have been working from home on a constant basis or on an intermittent basis. He's now saying everybody must be at work 5 days a week. So that's going to change that dynamic. And that may force people to have a different lifestyle decision. And then thirdly, he's going back or introducing what's called Category F employees. Now, he introduced that many years ago. And what that means is that that post, that job, is designated as a job for a political appointee. So by doing that, what he can then argue is the person filling that post is not loyal to the Trump administration, and therefore it doesn't fit the requirement, and therefore he can dismiss you because you're not politically loyal. Now, that is quite bizarre, quite extreme, but that's the area he wants to go. I found it interesting that that specific clause has already been challenged in the court, and there's been an application in the court system in the US to stop that process going ahead.
And then tariffs. We need to touch on tariffs before our time runs out.
So the tariffs was the big thing we were focused on because that has a direct impact on global trade, which impacts South Africa. And obviously, there was a lot of statements from the Trump administration about what could manifest, and that doesn't seem to have occurred. He's still talking about tariffs on Mexico and Canada. He's saying 25% by the 1st of February. I think that in itself is a negotiation stance. I think you're going to see that it doesn't necessarily materialize. Also, he hasn't announced any specific tariffs on China. He's saying that we're looking at it and we'll investigate it, but we do know that he has been in discussion with the Chinese authorities, and I think he's using tariffs as a negotiation tool. And therefore, because tariffs are not front and center of what his initiatives are, he's pleasing the market. The ideas that he's putting across are supportive of the US economy. They're supportive of the equity market broadly. And so there isn't a significant pushback. I think where he would get a pushback is if he introduced very stringent tariffs on a whole range of countries, sparking a global trade war. I think then the ramifications would be substantial, and the impact on the rand, the impact on South Africa would be substantial. So you can't say he won't do it, but at this stage, it's not the biggest focus.
Kevin Lings, thank you so much for unpacking the status quo with us. Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at StanLib.